Are you ready?
Yes.
Next week is the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Okay, that right there is my perfect example. I was about to make a point, but I don't need to make your point because y'all just made the point. I said, are you ready?
Yeah.
Super Bowl next week. Yes. Y'all are going to feel kind of weird after this message today. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm just saying. I mean, man, I cannot believe what just happened. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Super Bowl, yeah. It reminded me of a Simpson episode when the Super Bowl was taking place and the pastor was speaking and it was like four people in there. And he said, some of you have been faithful beyond the big game. And one guy got up and said, oh man, I forgot about the game and ran out of the church. I'm going to tell you a story. I want you to envision this story, and then we can move forward. Well, to call this guy John, John for John Doe. John is driving around the city, and he's looking for a church. It's Sunday. He's dressed very nice. He has a suit on with a tie, and he is looking for a church, and he finds this sign for a church. And he decides to follow the signs to the church. And he gets to the parking lot and realizes this is the parking lot of a very, very big building. He enters into the church and he sees the lobby. It's grand. They have a Starbucks inside of it. Or something like it. There's a Christian bookstore inside of it. And inside that Christian bookstore, there's full of books and Bibles and movies and CDs. He's in awe about it. Before he gets an opportunity to enter into the sanctuary, he already has his caramel mocha latte. He has four books, three CDs, and two DVDs, all before he enters into the sanctuary. When he enters into the sanctuary, he has to be careful because it's dark. There's beautiful light formations that are taking place, and there's smoke on the stage, and this praise and worship team comes out, and everybody lifts their hands up in the air, and here playing this song with a bunch of college age worshipers that are leading, and everybody's hands are up, and he feels weird because no one is wearing the suit that he thought was appropriate, but everyone is wearing regular clothes and they're worshiping, and he likes it. This is nice. And then the pastor comes out, good looking guy. And he preaches, or he talks, in other words, and it makes him feel so good and motivated. He's excited. And after that, he tells the congregation, if you want to accept Jesus, pray this prayer after me. And he prays the prayer, and everyone says the prayer. And when he walks out of the church with his bag of goodies and his almost completed caramel mocha latte, he gets back in his car and he realizes, man, this is the church that I want to be at. But when he drives out of the parking lot, you wouldn't think that you left a church. There's homeless people on the street. There's storefronts that have been abandoned. There's prostitutes walking. And then he realizes that, what did I learn about the Bible. He learned to pray. He learned to be happy, to feel good. This is your day. This is your breakthrough. But he knew nothing about Jesus. Do you see the picture? Every Sunday we have that occur, where churches have become like airports, where you have a million people coming in and a million people coming out. John felt great about his experience. His experience checked off everything that made him feel comfortable. The pastor didn't say anything to him to offend him or upset him. But he knew nothing about the Bible that he held in his hands that his grandmother gave him when he was a kid, and he's probably opened about two or three times. Say goodbye to John. Say it. Bye, John. Okay, John's story's over with. Let's move on. In the 1840s, there was a thing called the gold rush that happened in California, where people would come all over the nation to strike for gold, to strike it rich. And there was some times where some of these people, these miners, were going out and they were hitting these mother loads of a beautiful stone. And they would pull it up and they were excited and they said, "We hit it big, we've got 30 pounds of this stuff." And it turned out to be nothing more than iron pyrite. If those of you that know about iron pyrite, it is called fool's gold. It is not gold at all, but it looks like gold. It looks beautiful. But they found this stuff and they found it and they're excited, and it turns out that there was no value in the pyrite like they did have in gold. In 1897, there was an invention called a mirror ball. And that mirror ball was there to enhance someone's experience inside of a room. In the 70s, it became very popular, and we have one here at the church, if you look directly up. In the 70s, it was used in nightclubs to help enhance your experience in a dark room where these light, the disco ball was moving around. Some of you, when you hear disco ball, you automatically think of a song or music or an atmosphere that took place there. I know that the people that are younger have no idea what it is, but it's really cool when you really look up and you spin it around. It actually does make an effect. It's there to help your experience when you're on the dance floor. The only person that truly understands about these things is Alan and Willie, because Alan used to have an afro out to here and Willie used to dance with the disco light ball. I know it. John Travolta. We're not even going to go there because we're not going there. We're not doing movies today. You guys have lost that right for right now. When you're doing an arts and crafts piece, you could take a drawing, a picture, and guess what? Something I used to do as a kid all the time. You want to enhance your painting or your drawing or your piece of art. You take a little bit of glue and you put the glue down, and then you cover that glue in glitter. Glitter helps make the picture stand out. Makes it shiny. For those of you that go to restaurants, if you order yourself a nice big steak or a chicken something, for some reason you get in your steak, if you can imagine you ordering a steak, you order a steak and you get a steak and you get a green vegetable and you probably get some type of starch like potatoes, mashed potatoes, or a baked potato. And for some reason when they bring you that plate, they bring it to you and there's a piece of green on there. Curly parsley. You didn't order the parsley, but they put it on your plate, free of charge. My personal opinion, if I get shrimp scampi and you put parsley on it, wouldn't an extra piece of shrimp make it even better? Then just don't give me the parsley. But why do they put that on there? Oh, it's a trick to help decorate the plate. It's about presentation. Don't care about the presentation. The parsley is there when they deliver it to me, and it's there when I leave. Do you see the picture? All of these things are concepts between truth and reality. You can order yourself a T-bone steak, but the parsley helps your plate of food look better. You can have a drawing that is innocent and fun, but it is enhanced and made an ordinary picture into a better picture because you put glitter on it. You may not be a great dancer in the 70s, but I'm going to tell you something right now. With the lights out and the disco ball glowing, it can make you look like you are amazing. You could very much be digging for treasure, and you find something shiny and pretty, and it looks like gold, but it is not gold. Have we fell in love with what's glitter and forgotten about the gold? Are we into the glitter and not the gold? I've heard some pastors say, it's not my calling to challenge people biblically. I'm here to make people feel good and know that they have hope. I've heard pastors say that Jesus is the product. We see this in the church. We see the church has become more addicted to attraction and not substance. They're into the smoke machines and the lights. They're into the pretty praise and worship leader and the handsome pastor. They're interested in the size of the church. This church has 10,000 members. We have 4 different services on Sundays and a Saturday night service too. I ain't even got to get up on Sunday mornings no more. We have become more in love with the motivational speaking than the inerrant word of God. Do you see what I'm talking about? It gets to the point now where pastors don't even talk about the word sin anymore because they want to be positive. They're so afraid to mention sin because they're afraid that people will leave their church. There's a pastor that said, I don't talk about sin. It is not my place to do that. What that leads is that leads an ignoring of sin, where our total depravity is no longer important. You must understand, in order to need a Savior, you must understand some truths about yourself. How many of you can breathe without air? I'll wait. So you must understand, for those of you that can breathe without air, you are a very special person. But let me explain something to you. If you cannot breathe without air, then you must acknowledge the fact you need air to breathe. You must understand that in order to need a Savior, you must be a sinner. You must have sin inside of you that you are grotesque about. Even when you accept Christ as Savior and Lord and you are forgiven, you are still grotesque about the sin because now you do not have the DNA of a sinner. You have the DNA inside of you of the Savior. And so you hate sin. But churches don't even want to acknowledge that there is a such thing as sin. These big churches have become big fan clubs and not family. where God is nothing more than a genie that is supposed to make you feel good, give you whatever you want, and help you make your caramel mocha latte go down smoother. Have we fallen in love with the glitter more than the gold? I would ask you to write down these verses because we don't have them on the screen. If you want to write them down, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. It's up to you. But there's a couple points that I want to make before we finish this morning. Understand that many people have walked away from Jesus. It's nothing new. There's some people that sit in these churches and say, with their arms folded, saying, I am waiting for God to show me something and He has to prove Himself to me. And when they don't get what they want, they walk away. Be careful what you say, LaJuan. You don't want to offend anybody. We're in an age of offending everybody all the time. Good morning, Jesse. How are you? I'm good. What do you mean by good? I'm offended. We're offended about everything. We become soft. We're so offended. We're so angry. We're frustrated. Y'all know the sign, the walk when you go on the street, and there's the sign, you have the stop, you have the hand, which is the red stop, right? You've seen it, have you? None of you have seen it. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Those of you that there's a red, you're standing at the corner about to cross the street. There is a red sign that does this. It's red, a hand. Then when you walk, what is it? People walking, yes? Green. You know a person got offended about that because they were in a wheelchair? And they considered changing the whole thing? We're so offended all the time. There's a TikToker that people got offended and wanted to cancel this person's account because she said, okay, in the Titanic, when they had the lifeboats out there, they made one rule for the lifeboats. Any of you know what it was? Women and children first. Women and children first. She's like, so if we get on a ship right now and we have to get on lifeboats, are we going to offend anybody to say women and children first? What about the they, thems? What if I don't identify as a woman? What if I identify as a man, but I am a woman? Does that count? We're choking ourselves to our own hypocrisy. But people get offended and they wanted to cancel her for asking that question. We live in a time right now where you understand, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, you guys go to some of these hotels or go to places where you actually have a women's restroom and both. You don't even have a men's restroom anymore. I've witnessed that personally at one of my old places of employment. Women's restroom on the right, both on the left. I went to the both on the left. I am using the bathroom, and 2 12-year-old girls walk in. True story. Disgusting. And when I said something about it, what did I do? I offended people. We get offended about everything. And they did with Jesus too. In John chapter 6, verse 60, what does it say? It says, therefore his disciples, when they had heard this, said that it is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? In other words, Jesus' teachings was too hard. In verse 66, it says, as a result, many of the disciples withdrew and were walking with him no more. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, did a lot of great things. Healing people, preaching to people, performing miracles. But the moment that he started to preach the sound doctrine of God, people stopped walking with him. When he began to teach the sound doctrine of God, they were ready to kill him. Go throughout the Gospels and see it. People have walked into this building and said, I don't like your teaching style because it doesn't make me feel good. I'm sorry. It's the Word of God. It's not coming from me. If you have a problem with it, talk to the Lord about it or read your Bible. You'll probably be more offended at reading your Bible. Glitter, not gold. Glitter is for me to tell you what you want to hear. Glitter is for me to sit there and smile at you all the time and tell you, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Glitter was all the spectacle of things. But when it comes down to teaching the sound doctrine of God, people walk out. As I told you guys before, the old church, one of the old churches I used to be at, had an amazing choir. The choir actually had a recording contract, was actually recording records. And guess what? When the pastor got up to preach, the choir left. Oh, yeah. That's why I still get PTSD episodes when Ramona walks out of the sanctuary. I'm joking with you. I had to get you. You ain't been here. I had to get you, okay? But she doesn't leave. She goes into the lobby. Y'all do what y'all do. I mean, I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is the choir used to be up here. If y'all remember old churches. And they used to have their robes on. Half of the choir would leave, get in their cars and drive away. When it came down to the Word of God being spoken. So people have walked away from Jesus himself because they say the teaching is too hard. How can I understand this, Pastor? This is too much. I had a woman tell me a couple weeks ago, I just want to let you know, Luan, I read through Genesis. I said, really? That's awesome. We gave her a Bible, and she read through Genesis. I said, that's great. She said, I don't know. I said, what? She said, I'm scared of God. Why are you scared of God? Look at all the stuff he allowed to happen. Look at all the stuff that's happened. I'm afraid. I said, keep reading. I said, did you see Jesus in any of it? Jesus? Yeah. And then we talked about it. She said, oh. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you pray to our Lord that he will leave you stranded with his word? He won't leave you stranded. He won't. There'll be somebody that can help you along. They have study tools you can use. Pray. He's not going to leave you stranded. There is text that's difficult to understand. But it is God's word. Also, the other thing that happens is we no longer are desiring sound doctrine. We're getting to a point now where people don't want sound doctrine. And because of that, they begin to search for something else. Second Timothy 4, verse 3 reads, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth. And will turn aside to myths. in other words, people, and this time I believe is happening now, people do not want sound doctrine. No longer endure. What does that mean? It means no longer to bear with. I can't bear with it anymore. They don't no longer want to bear with sound. What does the word sound mean in the Greek? It means healthy. Healthy doctrine, teachings of God. They no longer want that. But their ears are, they want their ears tickled. The Greek word kinoto, meaning to itch. It's a desire to have something scratched. How many of you have ever had that itch in the middle of your back you cannot get to? All the time. You're looking for a wall. I use knives. And what happens when you finally get that itch? You're... My world makes sense now. Imagine this. People do not want to bear with or to abide in the healthy doctrine of God, the healthy teachings of God. So what happens is they have a desire, they have an itch in their ears that they so desire and want to be scratched that they begin to find people that are going to tell them what they want to hear. Does that make sense? When they accumulate, it means they pile up. They get not just one, they begin to pile up. Accumulate, pile up these people. And they're working according to their own desires. That's how you have some of these mega churches that have 10,000 members. That's why you have churches that are teaching sound doctrine, not so much. In other words, a time is coming when people don't want the healthy biblical truth of God, but they want their ears to be scratched so badly that they pile up people that are going to tell them what they want to hear. That's a problem. Glitter, more than gold. In Mark chapter 7 verse 6, what does it say here? It says in Mark chapter 7 verse 6, it says that he said to them rightly, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. You understand that there are people in the church that will honor God with their lips. They will say all the right things, but their heart is far from them. Remember I told you about the analogy between the fan and the person a part of the organization? We talk good things. For those of you that like sports, I think all of you, since y'all yelled affirming about the Super Bowl, you'll have a NFL coach get fired, and when he's interviewed, he says, I want to thank the organization, thank them. They just fired you. You ain't got no job no more. How many of you have actually proudly and smiled and thanked the person that fired you? Well, Wes, it happens all the time. It's not a big deal with you. What I'm saying is that there's one thing to say good things about our Christian faith. There's one thing to say good things about Jesus. But if you do not have a ginosko, you do not know him, you don't have a relationship with him, it doesn't matter. They honor me with words or with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Honor with lips is glitter. Glitter. A heart in Christ is gold. We have even gone as far as to camouflage our lack of Christian walk with things like extra Christian acting, extra holy talking, tradition and customs. What do you mean by that, Luan? Well, I'll explain to you. Extra Christian acting. You don't really feel this way, but you want people to believe that you're this great biblical theologian, this great Christian, so when someone says something to you, you make sure you say God bless you every single time. Your answer machine is nothing more than a mini sermon. Extra holy talking. Yeah, man, I messed up today, man. How'd you mess up, brother? I messed up because of this, and this. I had some road rage. Well, you know the Lord tells us. Stop. Extra. We camouflage. We use that as a camouflage to show our lack in something. I've got a library at home with over 3,000 books. 13 or 14 bookshelves. I have every Bible translation ever written. I've got 150 Bibles. I've got Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker on my car. I listen to Christian music all the way to church. If this describes you, I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong. I'm saying that some people use that as a camouflage. Their hearts are still far from Him. My biggest issue, I'm going to tell you right now, with my addiction to purchasing Bibles, okay, is you only need one. I just like to collect Bibles. But there's only one that you read at a time. I know people that collect Bibles and don't know the Bible. Haven't read it, but they got them. The Catholic Church is full of traditions and customs. Even parts of the evangelical church is full of traditions and customs. You see it in every denomination. Traditions and customs. Mark chapter 7 verse 9 reads, Jesus saying, He was saying this to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. In other words, you are willing to set aside the instruction of God's word so that you may maintain your traditions, which you believe is honoring God. That's why I never understood certain denominations. And when I say denominations, I'm including Roman Catholic. I don't understand how these traditions, Presbyterians, whatever, all of them have all these traditions. And you find yourself all into the tradition and you're not in the Word of God. There was a book I told you guys about a few weeks ago. There was a little book that came out called How to Stay a Christian While in Seminary. Why? You get caught up with everything other than the Word of God. If someone asked me, Luan, when you were at a certain seminary, which will forever remain nameless, how many times did you open up your Bible? I opened up my Bible a number of times, but not to read it. How many times have you opened up other textbooks? All the time. We have to be careful that we do not set aside the very commandment of God to keep tradition. Tradition is glitter. Relationship is gold. And Jesus goes as far as to say that they're experts at setting aside. They're experts at it. They're good at it. They can make you think that you are really eating and tasting the original, but you are nothing more than having a counterfeit. How many of you have ever had cereal before? Cold cereal? Okay, thank you. Okay. You know, if I go to the Walmart right now, which I go average maybe once, maybe even twice a week, they have the cereal section. I'm not a big cereal person anymore, but Jamie is and Layla is, so I go down to cereal section. One of Layla's favorite cereals is Captain Crunch. This is an older group. And I'm going to ask you guys a question. If y'all not with me, I give up. I'm not going to do this anymore and break my own heart. I told Jamie one time, I said, Jamie, Captain Crunch was good, but you know what was made with the same stuff that Captain Crunch made, but it was made in a T-shape? It was Mr. T cereal. How many of you have ever heard of Mr. T cereal? I am brokenhearted. I cannot believe... No need to say nothing about it. Y'all broke my heart. Y'all ain't never heard no Captain... Y'all know Captain Crunch. Y'all know Mr. T. Fine, whatever. Okay. Anyway, my point is she loves that cereal. Now, if you go into that section, you see the Captain Crunch sitting there in the box, and you see how much it is, and it's pretty pricey, right? But then if you go further down the aisle, you find a big old bag, probably about this big, of the same type of cereal, but it's a generic brand. Oh, it tastes just like the same thing, right? I'm not going to get NyQuil, I'm going to get Nighttime. Go to the NyQuil store, they got Nighttime for $1, instead of me paying $7 for a NyQuil. Are y'all with me? Generics. Now, does it chemically do the same thing? I guess you could say it does, but it's not the same thing. Some make an argument and say, well, you're paying for the name. That could be true too. But what I'm saying is there's one that's the original, and then there's a generic. We have to be careful in our Christian walk to stay with the original and not deal with the counterfeit. Not deal with the generic. It will destroy you. It will end you. It will make you perish. Well, Luan, what is the generic? The generic is, oh, Jesus, you know, there's multiple ways to salvation to get to heaven. Just be a good person and you will be all right. Generic. The Bible says that Jesus is the only way to salvation. We've been handed the original, but we are settling for the counterfeit. Do you understand? Some of us, I'm not saying all of us, I'm saying we as the overall people have the original, but we're settling for the counterfeit. Somebody came up to me at Coffee Bean and said, oh man, I see you're reading the Bible there. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, man, I'm starting to get into this Bible. Ever since I saw that Noah movie, I'm getting into the Bible. So read the Bible. The Word of God is not a movie that you can watch and get it, what's going on. I try to get away with that with those Harry Potter movies because I'm not reading them books. I could barely watch the movie. I watched one of them. Jamie got all of them. Talk about, we're going to do a Harry Potter marathon. Okay, that's great. I'm not going to be there. I ain't watching that 4-hour long movie, just one. And they got 7 of them. All day. You start at 6 o'clock in the morning, you got all night and the next day to watch all of them. If you watch them back to back to back to back to back. I'm not doing that. But the books are better, I'm sure. I'm not reading the books. What I'm saying is we need to make sure that we settle and abide in the original. In the original, not the counterfeit, okay? Because the counterfeit is what glitters. The original is gold. And here's the thing. With you following all these traditions and these customs, it doesn't mean anything to God anymore. What does it say in 1 Samuel? Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, is your offering of sacrifices better than you actually obeying God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? In your name cast out demons. In your name did many wonderful works. And I will say to them, I never knew you, ginosko you. Have I not prophesied in your name? Glitter. In your name cast out demons. Glitter. And in your name did many wonderful works. A whole lot of glitter. But you did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationship, gold. Our Lord would rather have you be with him than you be focusing on all these traditions and customs. Are you with me? What happens when God is not enough? Well, we look at this in the story, and I'm not going to read the entire text, but I'll tell you this. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the nation of Israel wanted a king. Do you remember the story? They wanted a king. They required a king. They asked Samuel, hey, give us a king. Samuel's not happy with them, and he goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells him what? The Lord tells Samuel in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regards to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me from being king over them. So what do we get? We get Saul. The nation of Israel wanted a king like every other nation because God was not enough. How many of us say, God, it is not enough? Look at my life. Look at my situation. I got to try something else. I've met people that have tried every religion in the world. I was in my Christian phase, and then I went to my Buddhist phase. Then I tried Muslims, and then I went to New Age. Then I thought maybe I should be atheist, but that didn't make sense, so I went to Mormon. Just trying to see whatever shoe fits. At the end of the day, this is enough. Our Lord is enough, and his word is enough. This is sufficient. When you have mastered this, which you never will if you lived a million years, but this is enough. Israel wanted a king like the other nations. They didn't want God anymore. They didn't want God to rule over them. They wanted a sinful, fleshly person to rule over them. Let me ask you a question. In our current times that we live in now, do you see that in the Christian faith? You see people that want a sinful, fleshly leader over them, and they refuse to go to the text. They refuse to go to the Word of God. This person's going to save us. It's funny how the word continues to show our insufficientness. What also happens in this situation is God's not enough, and then we stay with God according to what we want to hear. In 1 Kings, there was a king named Jehoshaphat, and he was in Judea and Judah, however you want to say it. And there was the king of Israel that wanted to go to war. And in the text in chapter 22, he asks Jehoshaphat, "Are you going to go to war with me with these other nations?" And Jehoshaphat said that, "Please acquire first the word of the Lord. Ask God first, before you make the decision." And what did the king of Israel do? He gathered all the prophets up, because he didn't want to hear that from Jehoshaphat. So he gathered up all the prophets, 400 of them, and he asked them the same question. They said, "Yeah, go ahead and go to war." How many of you do that? "Pastor, how do you feel about this situation? It is a sin." Pastor Saul? Yes, my sister. How do you feel about this? Oh, the Lord loves you. Great. How many of us do that? This is a sin. I don't want to hear that. I need somebody to understand my situation. I understand your situation. It's a sin. You're too judgmental. Stop. You asked me a question. We see that even in the Old Testament. We see the text where a king hears advice. The advice was to ask the Lord, inquire of him. And instead, he went to 400 prophets that are going to tell him what he wants to hear. Are we more focused on what the pastor has to say than what the Lord has to say? The pastor is going to let you down. Pastor, I'm dealing with something right now. I can come to you lovingly and tell you, you know what, I understand. I'm with you. But we have to fix this. But the pastor will let you down. The only concrete evidence, the concrete foundation that you have is the Word of God. And if you think that that's not enough, then you follow under the category that God's Word is not enough. It's gotten to the point where we as believers have fallen in love with a lie and not the truth. And we will ourselves into believing a lie, not the truth. I wonder, I'm not making a declaration, but I wonder for the third of the angels that went with Satan, did they choose to believe a lie? I don't know. But we do that all the time. We start to accept the lie, believe the lie, and that becomes over the Word of God. The next thing that we do is we begin to brag about the building. What I mean by that, churches brag about the building. What do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked. It's very simple. When it comes down to bragging about the building, we're talking about not just necessarily the building of this church. We're talking about the denominations, the walls that hold these things up. I'm a Baptist. Oh, cool. I'm a Methodist. Oh. I'm a Methodist. Cool. What are you? I'm a Lutheran. Oh. I'm a Presbyterian. Oh. Right? We separate ourselves because of denominations. And then we start arguing over trivial things. The last one I heard about was the debate about infant baptism with the Presbyterians. Who cares? Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. Not all these extra things. I told you, I had a friend that had to go, who's still going through something that would be equivalent to him applying for a job with the CIA just to be an elder with the Presbyterian Church. Drug tests? Like, in a cup test? Exams? All this extra stuff. Unnecessary. What it does is it puts you in a state of bondage. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not asking you to speak out. How many of you, by the raise of hands, have heard of Yo Mama jokes? Okay. Yo Mama jokes. Yo Mama is so ugly, blah, 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 right? Have you heard of those? It's a very popular, it used to be a very popular thing. I don't know if it still is. Okay? There's a history behind that saying. Do you want to know the history? Awesome, I'm glad. The Your Mama jokes, or your mama jokes, Yo Mama jokes, Y-O Mama jokes, okay? There's a history behind it, okay? There's a group right here, okay? And there's a group over there. Can you see the groups? Two different groups, okay? Just imagine, put your imaginary hats on, okay? This group is a group of slaves, That group over there is a group of slaves. This group is on one plantation with one master, Master so-and-so. And this group is another group of slaves under a different plantation, under a different master, so-and-so too. When they would get together, they would get into arguments with one another of who had the better master. Okay? Now, what does this have to do with what we're saying here? They would disrespect each other's masters. This group would disrespect the other group's master and vice versa. But because they didn't want to get in trouble or even be killed by disrespecting the master, they replaced yo master to yo mama. Does that make sense? Your mama's so ugly that she can blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah? Well, your mom, they're really saying your master is so ugly that blah, 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 blah. Okay? Interesting fact of our history. Here's the thing. They're arguing over who has the better master, but they're all still enslaved. They're all still in bondage. They're still all not free. You understand that when we get to the church and we begin to debate between trivial things of the Presbyterian church compared to the Baptist church, you understand all that does is leave us in bondage. Our freedom is in Christ, not in the bondage of the plantation. Do you hear me? We start to brag about the building. And even some people with the pastor, my pastor has a $65 million plane. It's funny because Scarlett can sit there and say, oh yeah, your pastor may have a $60 million plane, but my pastor has a Ford Fiesta. My pastor's Ford Fiesta is so small that he wears it when he travels. I had somebody come up to me a couple weeks ago, Pastor, you need to get a new car. No, I don't. I hate Fords, but yeah, I need to get a car. I hate Fords, but no, this is fine. Don't diss me. Don't make fun of me like she does. Every time I see her, I got to pet your car. It hurts my feelings. Let's move on before I start to really, you know. Anyway, my point is that we can't be under bondage. Not under bondage with social status, not under bondage with which church you go to, your sex, your age, whatever. Why? Because the Bible makes it clear that it's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave or free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Christ. We are one in Christ. Why are we dividing ourselves with denominations? At least that's just my thought. And if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. This is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. We all belong to Christ. So here's the question. What must we do so that we do not fall into the game of glitter? We must continue to grow with Him and have a relationship with Him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 reads, "But grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." In John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." You understand, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can do nothing unless you have a relationship with Him. We must understand the power in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 reads that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. You have in your hands right now the Word of God that will never wither and die. Psalm chapter 119 verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." But this Bible is just so much. That's great. Okay, I understand you feel that way. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, what does it say? It says, "All Scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed by God." profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Understand the word of God that you have in your hand. And we can continue going on and on, but we're not. The fact is this. The Bible, the Word of God, is gold. Relationship with Yahweh Himself is gold. Everything extra is nothing more than glitter that can deceive and confuse you. These things do not save you. Our Lord Jesus Christ does. It's that simple. The Word of God is far more important than who you associate with, what church you decide you want to come to. It's more important, the Word of God. Your relationship with Him is far more important. It's Jesus Christ who saves, not your association, not the church you go to, not the pastor that you have not had the privilege to even touch yet. Some of these mega churches have pastors that you ain't even met them yet. And when they meet you, they're too busy. Because they have a $65 million plane to get on so they can go on their little vacation for their weekly sabbaticals. Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 26. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Stop worrying about the show. Stop worrying about the smoke machines. Stop worrying about the motivational speaking, because all that stuff is going to mold away and go away. The only thing that's going to matter is your relationship with God. The only thing that's going to stand is God's word. And if you fill his word in your heart so that you not sin against him, that is going to have eternal results. Everything else is going to wither and die. Everything else is going to wither and die, including you. Here's the beautiful thing about God's word. God's word, this, right here. If this was the focus, we wouldn't be so divided as a group of believers right now if this was the focus. Our pride is the focus. Our desire to be heard or be saw is the focus. Our desire is to feel good. When I get to church, I just want to feel good. Yeah, if it lasts you about as long as Monday. And then guess what? You need to recharge. We said it before. Ramona's out here singing this music. You know what is funny? She sings here. The praise and worship team sings here. They sing every single Sunday. You know what is funny? It's not their job to get you motivated. It's not their job to get you into it. You should have been into it all week. So when you come here into this sanctuary and you lift your hands up, you're lifting your hands up with them as they praise and worship, but your praise and worship should constantly be going. Your praise and worship should be happening every single day. Try it. Try to pray to the Lord every single day. Try to pray to Him other than your normal prayers. Spend time with Him. Worship and praise Him. Thank Him for His greatness. So guess what? So that when this song, you hear the music, yeah, you hear it. It's nice, whatever. But it has nothing on your worship that you have with Him daily. That's how it should be. But here's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. It could be as hard as a rock and can cause damage. But it can also be the softest thing that you lay your head on to rest. It can give you comfort and warmth on a cold day. But it can also be a consuming fire that destroys your enemies. You can dive deep into the text like a deep sea diver, but never drown in it. It gives the word of life that reaches our dead ears, restores our dead hearts. There is a greatness in the text because the word of God is the power of God to salvation to all those who believe. That's the word of God. our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Word of God, it's not glitter. It is more precious than gold.